Happy Sabbath, everybody.
Happy Sabbath.
Sure is good to be here with all of you guys, even though I'm only half here. My significant other is relaxing on this Sabbath and is having a wonderful Sabbath getaway with a couple friends. So she is resting on this Sabbath day. And so if we look a little disheveled and stuff, look a little malnourished, that's why. We as Christians are on a never-ending journey. We have a ever-present mindfulness that we are to become more and more Christ-like. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 49 says that we should bear the image of the heavenly man. So we know that in our walk with God, we are supposed to be becoming more and more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we all know as humans, sometimes this walk is a little easier than others. And we have scriptures in the Bible to spur us along. Let's go ahead and turn over to Galatians. We'll read Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. I can get a little long-winded. Hopefully I don't take too much time from the sermon time later. But let's go to Galatians 6 right quick to go to a scripture that kind of spurs us along when we're not quite hitting the mark. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And so we see with this principle in other locations like the parables of the talents in Matthew 25 that we have a duty and a responsibility to become more Christ-like. We have to sow the godly and the spiritual. So we learn from these parables and Galatians here that God expects us to develop what he gives us for his benefit. He expects us to becoming more Christ-like. We are expected to make a profit, as the parable of the talents shows. So this motivation, I suspect, is also a motivator of what led Paul to record that we should redeem the time. And we'll go to that scripture and we'll look at that in a minute. For those interested in titles, the title of my sermonette today is Suggestions on Redeeming the Time. Suggestions on Redeeming the Time. Before I get into that, I just want to preface, before we turn to that scripture on redeeming the time that Paul wrote, that this was the same author that wrote Romans 7, verses 19 and 21 through 25. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to jot it down for your notes, that's Romans 7, 19, 21 through 25. I'll read it. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Verse 21. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. We see here that Paul clearly demonstrates in Romans 7 that he was not perfect. None of us are. But he was grateful that he has a Savior, as we can be. Paul shows us here in Romans 7 that he didn't have all the secrets figured out on how to redeem the time. He wasn't perfect at it. Yet he reminds us to redeem the time. As I mentioned at the beginning of this message, we must work towards that godly perfection. Let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 5 and verse 48, and we'll just read that one scripture. Matthew 5 and verse 48. It's a reminder to us. Matthew 5, verse 48. This is Jesus Christ speaking. Therefore, ye shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's a tall order, and we all strive for this perfection so that we can be more Christ-like. And it is in this light that I want to discuss redeeming the time. Let's go ahead and turn to that scripture now. Will everyone please turn to Ephesians 5 and verse 15? Ephesians 5 and 15. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 15, and we'll read through verse 21. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So we see what we read here in verse 16. It tells us we must redeem the time. And we see a list of activities in verses 19 through 21 that are some good suggestions to redeem the time. Similarly, Romans 3 verse 11 says, and do this, knowing the time that now is, it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And Colossians 4 verse 5 says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Brethren, if you're like me, you have some days where you wish you could redeem the time better than other days. And I suspect that's what Paul was bringing to light in Romans 7 here. So in the rest of the time in the sermonette, I'm going to give three recommendations on redeeming the time. Three recommendations on redeeming the time. Suggestion number one, set smart goals to challenge yourself to redeem the time. Set smart goals, and SMART is an acronym. The SMART goal acronym was developed by George Doran, Arthur Miller, and James Cunningham in a 1981 article, There's a SMART Way to Write Management Goals and Objectives. And ever since that article came out, this concept has been key in the business world. SMART stands for specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. That's specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. See, if we just set a goal that doesn't have these parameters in it, it's really more like a wish. And nothing that we really wish for really happens unless God works a miracle in our life. But if you set a SMART goal that's specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound, you can work towards accomplishing that. That is something that you can work towards. I throw out there that we should all be setting SMART goals for our spiritual life, whether that's spending more time in prayer, study, serving our brethren more, or serving the community more. I would like to challenge us to set these SMART goals. Don't let our spiritual goals simply be wishes that we have no way to attain. For instance, the phrase, I want to pray more, that's just a wish. But if you set a SMART goal, for example, I want to pray twice a day, all 7 days a week next week. That's a goal that can follow the SMART parameters. It's specific. You can measure it. You can see if you've attained it. It's realistic, and it's set by a time, a goal to try to accomplish it in a set amount of time. So that's the difference between a wish and a goal. Another example would be, I want to pray an hour longer next week than I did this past week. that's another goal that can be attained. So both of those fit the SMART goal guidelines. They're realistic, they're not pie-in-the-sky expectations, and you're not expecting to become a super prayer warrior overnight. They're goals that can be accomplished in a set amount of time, and they have a desired objective. So the first suggestion is to redeem the time by defining a spiritually SMART goal and sticking with it. Suggestion number two is set at least one of these SMART goals in something that you're already good at. Set at least one of these SMART goals in an area that you're already good at. There is a book here again in the business world called Strength Finders. I've got a copy of it here. You guys can look at after services if you want. Strength Finders. It was originally done by Don Clifton, and the second edition that is out now is done by Tom Roth. Strength Finders 2.0. This is a system in business that some businesses will point their employees to, and it characterizes about 34 different traits. And you look at those traits and you do a little test to see what you're good at. And then they recommend a plan to try to develop what you're good at. Because the premise of the book is that if you set a goal that you have a capacity to be good at, then you're going to be successful. So suggestion number two is set at least one goal in something that you're already doing good at. When God built the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle, he got skilled artisans to craft items that they were adept at making. God got people that were good artisans and skilled with animal hides to create the covering of the tabernacle. And he got jewelers to set the jewels in the high priest's clothing. He didn't ask the jewelers to make the tabernacle cover, and he didn't ask the tanners and the people that work in hides to make the jewels. So he uses us for our strengths. Similarly, God used Samson for his strength as an example in his life. So God wants to feed off of our strengths. He wants us to use the strengths that he gave us for his service. So suggestion number two is set at least one SMART goal in redeeming the time in something that you're good at. The third and final suggestion of redeeming the time is opposite to number two, but equally challenging, maybe more challenging. Set a SMART goal in something that is challenging to you. I recommend setting a SMART goal in something that is challenging to you. Just because you are trying to become better at something that's challenging to you, it's opposite from two, but it doesn't mean that you're on the wrong track. It's something God wants us to both work in our strengths and our weaknesses. Remember 1 Corinthians 15 verse 49 said that we should bear the image of the heavenly man. We know that that growth is challenging at times. Esther appeared to have a fear of having a critical conversation with the king of Persia, her husband. She appeared to be a little fearful on this challenge, and justifiably so, because she could be executed if the king didn't appreciate the conversation. But with her support and help, she mustered up the courage to have that conversation, and she saved a people that way. Jonah is another good example of someone who is challenged with the task that he wasn't necessarily good at to start with. Jonah did not want to show mercy. He did not want God to show mercy to the city of Nineveh. But God told Jonah to preach to Nineveh, and despite Jonah trying to hide and avoid that task, God was patient with Jonah. Jonah finally did that, and Nineveh did repent. So God used Jonah, despite his weaknesses here, to help do the work in Nineveh. So suggestion number three is set a SMART goal in something that is challenging to you. What better way to show God that you are willing to grow in an area that you are uncomfortable with than to set one of these goals on something spiritually that you find challenging. Have a hard time getting in prayer? Set one of those SMART goals that we brought out as an example. Having a hard time finding ways to serve in the church? Set a SMART goal towards that. See, brethren, redeeming the time is challenging at times. It goes against our old sinful man. Paul appeared to find it challenging at times in Romans 7. I'm sure all of us in here do at times also. Whenever you feel lacking in redeeming the time, I challenge you all to set a SMART goal. Set at least one SMART goal in an area that you are good at, and it will be a wonderful motivator to continue making progress on your walk with God. But also set a SMART goal in an area that you are finding challenging in your spiritual walk. This is how spiritual growth can occur. Brethren, may we all have success in redeeming the time through setting specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound goals.